Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, Bill Patty, your voice professor. We're broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. And as we speak, it's January 28th, 2015, and it's cold all over the country. A lot of snow, perhaps where you are, nice and cozy where I am, at least dry. And we're glad you joined us again. Today we're going to have a very, very, very interesting topic, as we always do. But in particular, today's topic is very much something I stress to students and people in the business that I deal with who are handling podcasts or radio shows or television appearances or Skype or whatever they happen to be doing for their appearances today. And one of the most important things is, of course, to have a good presentation, to be able to speak well, articulate, communicate well, naturally. That's very, very important. But even more important is the quality to be able to listen well. Now, there's a new concept. We have this narcissistic society going on where everybody has become a podcaster or blogger or, in their minds, celebrities. I always say that eventually in this country we will not have enough people to constitute an audience. We will be stuck with celebrities everywhere and nobody to watch the celebrities. I mean, seriously, that's where we're headed, because everybody seems to think that they have the talent to make it, if only they got a chance. So they have their chances with podcasts and blogging and whatever else they invent. But the fact is, talent is still talent, and we are lacking sorely in talent. And one of the things that I emphasize very, very much with all of the people I come in contact with is the art of listening. If you're doing an interview, you might want to listen to what the other person says. If you don't want to do an interview, you do the kind of show I do, which is basically a soliloquy. I sit here and I just talk, and that's nice, but the art of listening in an interview is something, again, sorely missing. And really, our current crop of talk show hosts, in recent years, talk show hosts, have forgotten this very important art form, listening to the guest. Because we have elevated stand-up comics to the position of talk show hosts. And as a result, these guys are always trying to zing somebody with a better comedy line. We have lost the time when we had people on television who were more cerebral. And I'm talking about the Dick Cavetts, the Jack Parrs, the Johnny Carsons of years ago. Even Merv Griffin to an extent. Those types of people who were on TV many, many decades ago, but had more intellectual guests and, of course, allowed them to pontificate without interrupting with a quip. And that's what we have going on today. And it's gotten worse because we, again, seem to get all of our talk show hosts out of Comedy Central. Have you noticed? Stephen Colbert is the new king of late night. At least that's the premise. When he starts, I think it's in May on CBS to be the replacement for Letterman. We have Conan O'Brien, another stand-up comic, or basically a comic writer, got his start writing for The Simpsons. Jimmy Fallon, who came from Saturday Night Live. Seth Meyers from Saturday Night Live. These are the kinds of comedy people that we put on television without thinking about whether or not they have the ability to communicate with their mouth without the use of humor. So we have brought this upon ourselves mainly because I guess we just have gotten away from the intellectual on television, and we have gone toward a reality show television performance from nearly everything that is on TV today. And that's why when you dial around the 150 or 200 or 300 channels you have, you can't find very much, can you? No. So I always insist that my students understand when you're doing an interview, I know you're looking at the list of questions that you want to give to someone, but the reality is, if you want a good question, why don't you listen to what the person is saying right now, and you might have a really good question pop up in your head. That's what give and take is about. That's how you pull out information from that person next to you that is going to be scintillating and exciting and unique if you just follow the question list that someone has given you or you've made up or that person has given to you. It's going to be a boring type interview. So you want to listen, and you do that in your regular life. This applies no matter what your profession or career is. Listening is important. Are you really listening to the instructions your boss is giving you? Are you really paying attention to the details of the latest computer software you're going to be dealing with? Do you know what your assignment is? Do you understand when it's due? You know, those simple little things we used to take for granted because everybody understood them, today have become lost in people who basically, again, are mouthing off or not paying attention or don't care. And as a result, we have a conversation that even in the workplace, wherever you are, is disjointed, has no continuity to it. So we're going to work on that today, I hope. We have a lesson called The Importance of Listening and Ways to Improve Your Own Skills. Now that is important. The importance of listening and ways to improve your own skills. Now, why did I come up with this topic today? Well, every once in a while I grab a very famous person or an infamous person or a person perhaps who was famous a long time ago but now is largely forgotten. Today, we have a person who is not forgotten, a person who is iconic. He has passed away, of course, long ago, but he is still on the minds and tongues of everyone who reads books. And the gentleman's name is Ernest Hemingway. Ernest Hemingway. And he is the gentleman we're going to talk about a little bit today because he said a very interesting quote. So this is our celebrity communication quote of the day, which applies to our listening lesson for today. Ernest Hemingway once said, "I like to listen. I have learned a great deal from listening carefully. Most people never listen." That is true. Ernest Hemingway said, "I like to listen. I have learned a great deal from listening carefully. Most people never, never listen." Ernest Hemingway, born July 21st, 1899, as Ernest Miller Hemingway, in Oak Park, Illinois, a Pulitzer Prize winner for fiction in 1953, a Nobel Prize winner in literature 1954, an American author, journalist. His economical and understated style had a strong influence on 20th century fiction, while his life of adventure and his public image influenced later generations. He produced most of his work between the mid-20s and the mid-50s, and won the Nobel Prize, of course, in 54. He published 7 novels, 6 short story collections, and 2 nonfiction works. Additional works, including 3 novels, 4 short story collections, 3 nonfiction works, were published after his death. Many of his works are considered classics of American literature. He died July 2nd, 1961, at the age of 61, and he committed suicide in Ketchum, Idaho. And I guess to add to the list of problems, he had 4 wives. 4 wives, yeah, okay. That's all right. 3 children and 4 wives, why not? And he was best known, I guess, here in where I'm in Florida. And, of course, he maintained permanent residences in Cuba. And he had a house in Ketchum, Idaho, which he died in, and in the summer of 61. And he also had a permanent residence in Key West, Florida, which I have visited. And I guess the thing now that people like to go see down there in Key West is the Hemingway home and the cats with the six toes. You heard about that? Yeah, I don't know why that all developed, but they're down there and they're still there. And it's if you ever get down to Key West, that's a place to see. So that's our gentleman for today. That's his quote, Ernest Hemingway, and the importance of listening. He has given us a good topic for today. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Because, you know, listening extends far beyond academic and professional settings. If you understand how to practice good communication, even in your day-to-day life among friends, family, and significant others, it's important for a number of reasons. For example, fostering good self-esteem, maximizing productivity, improving relationships, even becoming a better speaker. It's easy to mistake listening as a simple passive task, but it requires more than just the ability to absorb information from somebody else. Listening is a process and an active one. So we're going to go over the stages that compose listening and the process and the importance each one plays in your ability to communicate effectively with others. So we have our five steps to better listening. All right, you ready? We can divide them up into five distinct stages: receiving, understanding, remembering, evaluating, responding. That's the model that's most commonly referred to when analyzing good communication because it helps to isolate the necessary skills required at each individual step in the process. Now, the most important thing to keep in mind is that listening is a process, one that requires great effort. Yeah, I said the word effort. This is work, folks. Everything that is good requires work. Now, everybody likes to take shortcuts today, particularly when it comes to speaking, and it comes to listening as well. I mean, you take a shortcut because you don't want to go through the work of actually listening to what someone is saying, understanding, taking that into your brain, and then computing that and coming up with a response to what they just said. So once you understand how each part makes up the whole, you will become a better thinker, listener, speaker, and most importantly, communicator. So let's begin with number one in listening. What do we want to do first in listening? We want to receive the message. That's the first, most basic stage of the listening process, the act of actually absorbing the information being expressed to you, whether verbally or non-verbally. Not all communication is done through speech. Not all listening with ears. So no matter how you're communicating with another person, the key at this stage is to pay attention. Focus all of your energy on them by following three simple tips. Avoid distractions. Don't interrupt the speaker. Don't rehearse your response. Okay, avoid distractions. We'll take that first. This is really obvious. Don't have your cell phone out or your iPod in or the TV on, right? Don't try to divide your attention between the speaker and something else. You might think you're good at multitasking, and maybe you are, but demonstrating a commitment to the act of listening will make you a more respected person among your peers. Next, don't interrupt the speaker. You might want to make an assumption about what the speaker is saying or what they're about to say, but don't do it. It's rude. And you may find your assumption was wrong, which is beneficial to nobody. You can, however, practice nonverbal feedback cues, such as nodding to demonstrate you are awake and you have the attention of that person. Okay, so don't rehearse your response. That's next. Don't rehearse. Not yet. At this stage, your job is only to what? Listen. If you start to plan a speech while the other person is speaking, you're going to miss certain points and you won't be able to respond to their larger message when it's your turn to talk. Okay, so we covered receiving. We've received the message from the person we're talking to. Next, understanding what the message is. Now, that's the point in the listening process where you're able to plan your response. Understanding takes place after you've received the information from the speaker and you've begun to process its meaning. You can do this by asking questions or rephrasing parts of the speaker's message. This allows you to demonstrate your active engagement with their words and helps you to better understand the key points. So far we've got receiving, we receive the message. We're listening, we receive it. Then we understand, aha! We have the aha moment. And number three is remembering. Do we ever remember what somebody says to us? Probably not. You know, a long time ago when I was in, oh gosh, early grammar school, we did a little, we did a very, very little experiment, which still holds up today. And if you ever want to try that when you're at a party, or, yeah, at a party is okay. Or if you're, you know, you're out socially with friends, just get people to either stand up or sit and come up with a sentence, a statement that you whisper in the next person's ear. And then they continue to whisper in each person's ear, and it goes down the line. And when you get to the end, you have that person say what he thinks the message was. And, of course, the message will never be exactly or even close to what it started out with you. So this is a good example of how people kind of don't remember what they hear or think they remember what they hear or interpret what they remember what they hear. But it may not be the truth as to what was actually said. So remembering the third thing we have to do with listening, what good is it to, you know, have a conversation if you forget everything the speaker just said? And that's true. This stage of the listening process might seem very similar to the first two, but it goes beyond merely absorbing and processing information. Remembering is about retaining the information. And the most effective way to do so in an important conversation is to move the key elements of a message from your short-term memory into your long-term memory. Now, there are numerous methods for doing this. You can identify the fundamental points by converting a collection of small details into a theme. You're able to create some potentially complicated, something that's very complicated, into an easy-to-grasp general concept. The details remain in your short-term memory, but isolating the main ideas will help you understand them better and remember them longer. Make the message familiar. Relate that main idea to something you already know. Now, that should be easy to do. There aren't many new ideas, and chances are the discussion you're having will trigger old memories and past experiences. So use those to help you retain incoming information. Improve your memory with these courses on mastering your memory and easy techniques to improve your memory today. So you will remember whatever the heck it is that person just got done saying to you. And wouldn't it be a shame they went to all that trouble to tell you and you forgot it already? And how that happens, you know, if you ever talk to your wife or your husband and you'd say, I already told you that 12 times and you have forgotten it completely. And there are people that just don't absorb it. They're not listening. They're multitasking, they're talking, they're on the phone, they're washing the dishes, whatever it happens to be, they're not focusing in on what you are saying. Okay. Number four, the fourth thing we want to do when we're listening, evaluating. It's at this stage where you can begin to prepare for your response, but remember, you're still a listener, not a speaker. You're a listener, not a speaker. After the message has been absorbed, processed, remembered, you can begin to sort the information into pieces. What is fact? What is opinion? Was the speaker demonstrating any particular prejudice with their message? What portions of the message, if any, were exaggerated? What parts of their message were interpreted? Which parts were unbiased? What was the speaker's intent with their message? After you interpret the speaker's message, Through a combination of understanding, retention, and evaluation, you are ready to form a response. Wow, it took us four steps just to take in the information and think about it. Four steps. So the fifth step, you know, we left only the fifth step for your part in speaking, and that is responding to that message, to that stimulation you receive from someone else talking. So if you've completed the receiving, the understanding, the remembering, and the evaluating portions of the listening process, responding should be easier than ever. You'll be prepared to address the speaker's most important points with an awareness of the circumstances and context surrounding their words. It's important to understand the transition between listening and speaking, and be aware of the ways responding is still a part of the active listening process. Don't complete the speaker's sentences. This is a presumptuous and rude way to segue into your own response. Okay? Don't complete their sentence, even if they speak very slowly. All right? It impedes on the receiving process and will make the original speaker want to listen to you less. Address the speaker's points. It will make it easier for the speaker to transition into a listener when they know exactly what part of their message you're addressing. Now, while each stage seems like a lengthy process, this all happens in a very short period of time and should feel natural during a conversation. That takes practice, of course. All you're doing by practicing these tips is making yourself more conscious of the way you communicate and the bad habits you should avoid in the listening process. Listening is the most important part of communication, because if you fail to understand the message being expressed to you, you'll also fail in providing a substantial and meaningful response. This is the root cause of many arguments, misunderstandings, and complications, whether at home, school, or work. Being able to take control of the listening process will turn you into a better communicator overall. So that's what you have to do. Get involved with the key strategies on being a better listener. Again, those strategies are what? Were you listening? Did you understand what I said? Receiving is number one, receiving the message that someone is giving to you. Second, understanding what the heck it is they're talking about. Number three, remembering. Do we remember anything? Can we remember anything today? We have so much information and garbage being thrown at us all day long. So much going on in our lives. People glued to their smartphones. Can we just break it off for a second to remember something someone said to us? Number four is evaluating what they've said. Finally, number five, we respond to that person. That is our listening session and lesson today. The importance of listening and ways to improve your own skills. What do you think? I think it's a pretty good little lesson, and I hope you learned something from it, and I hope you'll start paying attention to that other person who's talking to you, even if it's your ex-wife. Yes, I'm sure they have something important to say sometime, somewhere. So don't shut it off. You might do a lot better. Okay, the importance of listening, ways to improve your own skills. Thank you, Mr. Hemingway, for bringing that into our lives. All right, that's a pretty good lesson for today. Now, I want to tell you that, you know, I continue talking and teaching people all over the United States and all over the world, and I really enjoy elevating people to the next level communication, because, Lordy, they need help. I mean, everybody today needs help. We are in this huge social cultural change thanks to the internet. I mean, really, this thing is just exploding. And perhaps you haven't noticed, but things are changing, particularly among the younger crowd. And what their life is going to be as we continue into this century is going to be truly remarkable. It may be not understandable to those of us who are older, but it is going to be different. And that's because of social media, and that is exploding, and podcasts and blogs and whatever else is invented as we go along that will bring everybody into the mix of talking to each other through the internet. I'm not sure they're going to be doing a lot of talking in person because people don't seem to like to do that anymore, and that's a shame because that's real communication. But the fact is, you know, you get what you get, and that's the reality of the future. And I see that in what I'm looking at online, and what I'm studying, and what I've noticed about really young people and what they're doing today. So this is going to change, and it's going to evolve, and you know, either get on the wagon or get off, because it's going to go whether you like it or not. That's just the way it works. But I know how you can communicate better right now, today. You can make a decision that you want to be a better speaker, that you want to improve the way you speak, the way you talk, that you will have total control of your voice and your speech skills, that you will not say and stammer and say, you know what I'm saying? There will not be any of those pauses when you talk. Everything will have a flow and continuity to it. You can do it with just a little training. Thanks to Your Voice Professor. Here comes the commercial. YourVoiceProfessor.com is my website. Still there, still great, and still has all the opportunities for you to be a better speaker. What am I talking about? Individual lessons with yours truly, Bill Patty, Your Voice Professor, usually on Skype, but sometimes on the telephone, where we in real time teach you how to breathe properly, resonate, project, articulate, enunciate, use pitch and tone to sound like a conversational speaker that you can be, how to make your voice better, how to improve whatever negative things you have going with your voice in a short, short period of time for a very minimal price. That's the individual lessons. Look it up on our website. Also, corporate events. That's right. I do corporate seminars for companies all over. And if you'd like to have your employees speak better, sound better, and be more articulate on the phone with potential customers and real customers and make a difference in the bottom line of your business, bring me in for a 3-hour PowerPoint with however many employees you have. In 3 hours, I will teach them how to be better communicators, guaranteed, and for less than you think. Also, online, this is a great option that a lot of people are taking advantage of now. My 2-CD set called Presenting Your New Voice, Voice Speech Communication Skills for the 21st Century. This 2-CD set is 100 minutes of great information, exercises, and yours truly, Bill Patty, hosting it for you. That's right. I'm there, and I will be not in person, of course, but I'm there with you on the CD. You can play it anywhere you are. In the car, at home, on your computer, whatever. You play it over and over again. You do the exercises. It's a great way for just $60, just 60 bucks, to bring this new thought of articulating and speaking clearly into your life. And you can play it as many times as you like, redo the exercises. It's just so terrific. And so many people now decide, hey, you know, for 60 bucks, why not? So go online, you can find all the information about all those ways to improve your speech, and you can talk to me personally on email, give me a call, whatever you'd like to do. I'd like to talk to you about how I can make you a better speaker, how I can improve your career, even your love life. That's right. More money, find true love, and develop personal confidence. 3 reasons why YourVoiceProfessor.com is a must-see for you right now. Check it out online, and then let me know what you think, because I'd love to talk to you and also hopefully train you in the near future, or help to train you become a better person and a better communicator. That's our show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back again next time. Bill Patty here. Bye-bye. Take care.